All right, today, as you see up here on the screen, is 2020 vision. And in our church and what we've been doing here for, it's been a few months, and pastors have been going over and thinking about and looking at direction and for our church and what we're planning on doing and trying to get a plan in place. And we want to start to get our vision and to start out with this 2020 vision for 2020. A lot of things are going to be happening and changing, and a lot of the discussion and things are going to be taking place. And our goal is to have everything in place and get good direction and guidance for our church as we start the new year in 2020. So it's going to take an effort on all of us together, working together, to find and to see what the Lord wants us to do, where He wants us to go, what do we need to do as a church. So just to kind of start us off, to get us thinking about, and things are going to be coming up in the weeks ahead, and we're going to be working on all this together. But it's 2020 vision. And you know, for a church, isn't it great to have 2020 vision? How many of us have glasses? I mean, I take my glasses off, I look out, and you look kind of blurry. When I put my glasses on, it's a little bit better. I don't think I got 2020 vision yet, but you're a little bit better. I can actually see who you are without all the blur around you. But isn't it great if you could just have 2020 vision? No glasses. See everything perfectly. High definition. Just everything. Just clear as can be. Isn't that what the church needs? Don't we need to have 2020 vision and know exactly what the Lord wants us to do? Where He wants us to go? What steps to take? What direction to go, so that we can know exactly what His will is. I don't know about you, but sometimes trying to figure out the will of God is kind of hard for your life, isn't it? What is the will of God? And not only that, for you individually, but how about for the church? What is the will of God for this local body here today? Well, we have 8.5 months until 2020. 8.5 months to go. Always kid my family. Always say, we got 8.5 months till Christmas. It's coming up. It's getting close. But we got 8.5 months till 2020. And the passage in 1 Chronicles, which I read, I think it's really good as we start out that, as we look at one portion, but also I really think a lot of this goes together too. You see the collective of Israel here as they're coming together. And really, as you look at them, they have a plan. They have a goal. And they're following the will of God, aren't they? They're following the will of God because God's will is that David will be king over Israel, right? And they're going to be helping that. They're going to be part of that. They know that God is placing David as king, and they're coming, and they're working alongside, and they know what the will of God is. And not only that, you look at the sons of Issachar. Look at them. It says that these men are men who understood the times with a knowledge of what Israel should do. They understood the times in which they lived, and they knew. They had the knowledge of what they needed to do. Can you say that for your life on a daily basis? Sometimes not. do I really understand the times that I'm in? Do I understand what I'm doing? Do I have the knowledge of what I need to do for the Lord? Do I have that knowledge and that conviction and that direction? We today live in a different time than 50 years ago, don't we? It's different. It's totally different. We live in a different time than 100 years ago. We definitely live in a different time of when, a couple thousand years ago, when the church started. Totally different. With the invention of the printing press, with the invention of the car, and now with the invention of technology, internet, computer. I was just talking to my sister last night. We got together with them, and she was mentioning back when first laptops, remember when laptops came out? And she was over my grandma and grandpa's, and she had her laptop, and she said, "Well, can I use your phone line?" Before Wi-Fi. "Can I use your phone line?" And she plugged in the phone line so she can get on there, and she could send a email to somebody. And my grandpa was just like, "What? You can do what?" Times have changed, haven't they? A very short period of time. And so we need to be a church that understands the times that we live in now. We understand what's going on around us so that we can be in a good position and to be used by the Lord. It doesn't mean that we get rid of truth. We will always have truth, right? We'll always have the Word of God. That never changes. But the times around us change, and those around us change. The world is changing all the time. But we need to find out that where do we need to labor? Where do we need to advance the gospel? Where do we need to make sure that we're following the Lord and in His will within our church and within our personal lives too? We need to understand where we live. We may even go clear out to understanding also our nation. So, thinking about that, how do we develop God's vision for our church? As we're thinking ahead, we're thinking in these 8 months, where are we going to go? What is the vision for our church? And how are we going to know? I mean, are we doing it right? Are we in God's will? Or is this where God wants us to go? Turn to Romans chapter 12. I think the first thing that we need to do, and if you're jotting things down, this would be number one. Surrender ourselves collectively here together to God. Surrender ourselves to Him. Romans chapter 12, a familiar passage. Verse 1, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." Offering ourselves as living sacrifices, a living sacrifice. You know, to be a part of a church, to be together, to be involved, and to do the part which you need to do in the body, it does take sacrifice. It will take sacrifice. It could take a sacrifice of money. It could be a sacrifice of things that you may have. Could be a sacrifice of time. Time is a big thing. You know, we don't want to give up our time, do we? Our time is important to us. But sometimes, if you want to be in God's will, and I want to be in God's will, it's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take that sacrifice. Because if you don't sacrifice your time, you won't be involved. Because it takes time to come here, doesn't it? It takes time to get ready. It takes time to come together. It takes time throughout the week to be a sacrifice. And so as we go through these today, also maybe put in the back of your mind, are you willing? Are you willing to do these as we get our clear vision? So surrender ourselves collectively to God, sacrificing ourselves and whatever that may be, not conforming to the pattern of this world, by transforming, renewing our mind. So our church needs to have that attitude of sacrifice. Our church needs to be renewing our mind collectively so that we can know His will. And as we renew our mind, as we collectively come together to renew our mind and our way of thinking, that involves our church service in the morning, Sunday school, Wednesday night, could involve home Bible discussion groups, could be Sunday evening services when we have those. And, you know, whenever the church gathers together, ladies' Bible study, men's Bible study, whenever we're gathering together, that's an opportunity for us to be renewing our mind collectively together so that we can understand, that we can move forward together. Secondly, obediently pursue what we know to be God's will. Pursue what we know to be God's will. John 14:21. Like I tell people, what is God's will? What is God's will for my life? Follow this right here, and that'll give you your God's will for your life. Follow that. If you have any questions, follow that. That gives you the basis, the foundation for your life. John 14:21 says this, "He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him." I can tell you one thing today that for everybody, what is the will of God? That you obey him. Plain and simple. If you are obeying him, in every decision you make, that it is a decision that doesn't go against his word, keeps you close to him, doesn't interfere with your relationship with him, I'd say that's a pretty good idea that you're not going against God and his word. So yeah, that'd be God's will. But sometimes it's maybe not as easy as that. There's many clouds and shadows and just unknowing and not sure, and we have times like that. But what I can say is that we need to walk in obedience to him, in his word and what it says. Obediently pursue what we know to be God's will, God's word. Then let him direct the rest. And what is God's will? Also, and this would be number three, seek God through prayer, fasting, worship. Seek him through those things too. Acts chapter 13, turn there. Here's what the early church was doing. Acts chapter 13, starting verse 1. It says, "Now there were at Antioch in the church that was there prophets, teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart from me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' Then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they came down to Seleucia. From there they sailed on to Cyprus. When they had reached Salamis, they began to proclaim the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they also had John as their helper." These things were important in the early church, and as they were together, three things. Prayer of the church is important. Prayer together is important. Talk about being together collectively, a time of prayer. Now take sacrifice of time. Absolutely will take sacrifice of time to come together and to have prayer together and to focus upon that. And you know what? If we as a church want to know what God's will for us is and direction for our church and where he wants us to go by 2020, get that clear vision, we're going to need prayer, don't you think? We are going to need prayer. We're going to need prayer individually as you pray about this throughout the rest of this year, as you pray and pray, but also together as the church to gather together and to pray and to seek God's direction together. Another opportunity is fasting, a time to set aside those things that, you know, we love to do. And the main thing here, they would fast, they would set aside eating to focus upon get their minds focused upon what the Lord would want them to do and give direction for them. And putting aside those normal things, you know, and that takes some time too. Takes some sacrifice, doesn't it? That's more sacrifice, more sacrifice. But seeking God through prayer, through fasting, and if a person decides to fast, not supposed to let anybody know about it. Maybe it's a set time of day, you know, today I'm just going to commit it to the Lord and just focus upon Him. Not even worry about eating today. Or maybe people nowadays, maybe they need a fast from electronics. You know what? I'm not even going to pick my phone up today. I'm going to set it aside because, you know what, it takes up a lot of my time, and I'm going to set it aside. I'm going to, now, you talk about a sacrifice. That's good. But understanding the times you live in, understanding the times that we live in and the different struggles that people have and what we are hooked on and addicted to. Boy, you don't have to be addicted to drugs. You can be addicted to a lot more things in this world today. That takes up much, much precious time. And we're all guilty of it. And worship, ministering together, worshiping together. So important to seek God, to know what He wants us to do. Number four, search the Scriptures for the revealed will of God. And we kind of hit on a little bit on that, but really thinking about searching the Scriptures, focusing upon the Scriptures, and that's what we do here, and we do that, I mean, really well, and that's one of our main things that we really do. We search the Scriptures, we look at them, we study them, but we need to search those so we know what is the will of God. And like I mentioned before, you know, look at that. This is the will of God. Follow those Scriptures. Acts 17:10, flip over to Acts chapter 17. Verses 10 and 11 says this: "The brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea, and when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so." These people here, just like being a Berean, examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Does it match up to the Scripture? Does it match up to what God's Word says? If not, don't do it. If so, pursue it. Examine, investigate, question. That's what you need to be willing to do. That's what we need to be willing to do as a church. Examine, investigate, question. Don't worry about having a question. Don't worry about questioning something. We need to find out whether these things are true. Examining the Scriptures. Is this so? Is this where God wants us to be? Is this important to God? Whatever it may be, search the Scriptures to see what God's will is. And have ears to hear, not just the words that I say or anybody else says here, not just the words that we hear from one another, the words that are taught, but have ears to hear and to listen for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to be a big part in what we do as a church. Because if you're a Christian here today, who resides in you? Holy Spirit, right? He's sent to you as a helper. He is a seal upon you. He is here among us, living within us. Don't you think it's important to listen to what He has to say? John chapter 16. Turn back to John chapter 16. John chapter 16, verse 13 says, "But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He speaks, wherever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of Mine and will disclose to you. All things that the Father has are Mine, therefore I said that He takes of Mine and discloses to you." Now not only the Holy Spirit residing in us, but as He hears, He's going to tell us, He's going to lead us, He's going to guide us. And He can guide us as we look at God's Word, as the truth of God's Word, And the Spirit's going to give us guidance. He's going to help us with that. And the key to that is for us, my personal me, not to get in the way. Not my worldly thinking, my old self to get in the way, but allow the Holy Spirit to work and to guide and to direct and to listen to Him and to say yes. So be attentive. Be attentive to what the Holy Spirit is doing and how He's leading. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. And now really take a good look at yourself. Look at yourself as we think of yourself. I give you permission right now to be selfish. Think of yourself as we read verses 10 and 11. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterance of God. Whoever serves is to do as the one who is serving, by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory, dominion forever and ever. Amen. Be selfish. Use your gifts, your talents, your resources to do what? What does it say? Serving one another. Be selfish in serving one another. Be selfish. Be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. He who has a word to speak, speak. Make sure it's from God's word. If you serve, serve well. And all of us are going to have an opportunity to serve. Service is abundant here. Plenty of opportunities. Use your gifts. Serve those around you. Serve those who you see here, sitting next to you, those across the room. You're here to serve them. And when we come into our church, I think it's something that we need to really change within our mind, is that when you come to church and you're involved in the church, right now I'm giving to you. But after I'm done giving to you, you're supposed to give to one another. We don't give you permission to come and to take and to not give back. Do you agree with that? Don't come just to take. You're here to give back too. You're here to give to others. You're here, if you're a part of the body here, you have a gift, you have something that the Lord wants to use in you to minister to the body, to help build up the body, to edify the body. You have something that the Lord wants to. Evaluate your gifts, your talents. Know what they are. And be willing to expand it too. Be willing to say, Lord, here I am. Use me. If you have an opportunity, don't just say no. Because the Lord could be giving you opportunity to serve Him. He'd be giving you opportunity to be used in a great way to glorify Him. Don't just say no if that opportunity arises. So what is expected for us here today? To be willing to serve. Don't just take. Don't be that selfish where you just take and not give back to the body. And the seventh thing is to know the will of God, to know where the Lord is wanting to use us, and to be ready to be used, and to be those vessels that are just ready to be used. Well, we need to do one thing. Make sure that we confess. Psalm 66:18 says, if I had not confessed my sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So as we think about, how am I going to serve the Lord? Make sure that your sin is confessed, it's cleansed, it's taken care of. For if we are just sinners and no confession, no remorse and turning back to Him and laying our sins before Him, asking Him for forgiveness, then we're not going to be usable. So I guess the one thing, if you jot down one thing today, confess your sin so you can be used. So what do we do from here? So what do we do from with our vision, as we look at our vision for 2020, as we think about all these things coming up and where we're going to go, what we're going to do, take some practical steps. Have some goals. As we go forward, have faith. If we're not sure, or things kind of unclear, keep the faith. Keep going forward. Keep trusting Him. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see." 1 Corinthians 9:24 and 27. You got goals. You got steps. And we're going to be taking these steps. We're going to be getting these goals. We're going to be moving forward. 1 Corinthians 9:24, 27 says, "Don't you realize that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win." Each of us here should be running to win, right? And collectively as a church, we're not going to run this race. We're not going to do this vision wanting to come in second place. What is second place? The first loser. Okay? So we're running to win. We are running to win. For this is what we're doing. They do it to win a prize, those who just run a regular race. But that prize will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize. What we're doing starting today, going forward, change our mind, because every day we're doing it for an eternal prize. This isn't something that's going to fade away. This isn't something that we're going to lose. We're going for this eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step, every decision we make, everything that we do, everything you do in your life, every day that you live, and every time that you're here at the church, you're involved with a group, you run with a purpose in every step you take. And every step we take as a church, we do it as in a purpose, with a purpose. So we discipline ourselves in verse 27. Discipline our body like an athlete, training to do what I should do. We want to be good athletes for the Lord. We want to be ready, prepared, conditioned. So when He calls upon us, to do something in the future that we think, "Really, Lord, how are we going to do that?" He says, "I've conditioned you. I've gotten you ready. Now it's time for you to go. Now you need to go. You need to do this for me." So we work and we work and we work. We train, we train, we train. When the Lord calls, we're ready. So we need to have this attitude. We need to believe that you have a great God, that your God can do great things. We can sometimes, maybe all the time, maybe we should. Maybe we should ask the Lord for great things. "Lord, can you do this for us? Can you allow us to do this?" I don't know about you, but do you serve a great God? Yes, we do. We serve a great God. He can do great things. You know what? He may do great things with us. Or He may have us do some small things, which is perfectly fine. But Lord, I pray that we would be in Your will, whatever that is. Maybe He just wants us to do some small things. We're faithful with those small things. What do you think He's going to have you do next? He's going to build it up. There might be some other bigger things. But we need to be in the right place. We need to have our plan going forward. Because when we have a plan, going forward, the Lord will direct our steps. And that would be awesome to be able to see that. I'll leave you with a few verses here about our great God. Ephesians 3:20-21. "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine." So when we ask something, guess what? He could do even more than that. He's God. He can. So now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power, which is great, that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ through all generations, forever and ever. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know." Isaiah 6:8. "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And I said, Here am I. Send me." Are you ready? Are you ready to see what the Lord has for us here in the future? Are you ready to say, Lord, send me? I am willing. I am willing to sacrifice. I am willing to help. I'm willing to serve. I'm willing to go. We will find out very quickly. We will find out very quickly because 2020 is coming. It's getting closer every day. And I believe that our church here will be ready to go. And whatever that looks like, wherever he has to lead us. But the most important thing is to stay faithful and see what our great God. Dear Heavenly Father, we look forward to what you have for us. It's a great thing to think about and be a part of and be involved in. Lord, I know that you're a great God and you have much for us to do. Give us the strength. Give us the willingness. Give us the ability to do your work as we continue on from this day. Now, Lord, there's going to be lots to do. There's going to be lots of decisions to make. And Lord, I thank you that we have a body here that is, I believe, ready to follow you, ready to go, wanting to do your will. And that's exciting to see. So we ask, Lord, that you'll guide and direct to help this to sink into our minds and help us to think about it. And Lord, it's not something that we're just going to put away. It's going to be out in front. It's going to be there for us to see. We're going to continue on. And Lord, we pray for your guidance and your direction. In Jesus' name I pray.